Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samet Chet Amud Aleph, 8 lines down by Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Just to review, what we were discussing yesterday is the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that when you have illicit arayot, that the kiddushin are not tofsin, that you're unable to create kiddushin to generate a marriage between those two individuals. Now, as Rashi noted in yesterday's daf, the Gemara is not asking how we know that that produces a mamzer, because it says, lo yikach ish, edesh aviv, v'lo yigaleh kanaf aviv. Then there's the interim pasuk of lo yavo p'tzua daka krut shofcha b'kal Hashem. And then it says, lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem. So the limud from the Gemara in Yevamot is that the juxtaposition of lo yikach ish edesh aviv, v'lo yigaleh kanaf aviv, tells us what type, or what is the source for something that is lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, what produces a mamzer. And from that we learn out that chiyuve mitot beitin result in a mamzerut. So Rashi says we already know where mamzerut comes from. The Gemara now wants to understand, how do we know that kiddushin is not tofes? Tosafot, on the other hand, says that those two items come hand in hand, which is that, by definition, if kiddushin are not tofsin, then there is mamzerut. If there is mamzerut, then there is no kiddushin. And therefore, the nature of the Gemara's question, he has to narrow down to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, who says that there is only mamzerut from chiyuve mitat beitin, which is the case of lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, which is a case of chiyuve mitat beitin. Nevertheless, he believes by chiyuve kretot that there is no kiddushin. So there is that one opinion who has a disconnect between all the cases where there's mamzerut and kiddushin. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, according to that shita, even if we don't have mamzerut, how we know that kiddushin are not tovsin by chiyuve kretot? On the other hand, for Rashi and the Ramban and other Rishonim, the Gemara's question is, how do we know about kiddushin ain't tovsin, even though we know about mamzerut? Now, once the Gemara already establishes the connection between them, then already we can maybe take what Tosafot says as a fact, which is that there's always a correlation between the two items. So the Gemara solved that problem by saying that we learned it out from Achotisha, by the sister of one's wife, where it says in Parshat Achremot, Visha lachuta lo tikach, litzror legalot erbata lebechaya. So we know from other limudahim here that lo tikach means to lo te'ebat likuchin, that you don't have the possibility of generating kiddushin with her. And there is Isha lachuta, we learned it out from, you may not take two sisters as wives, because you cannot generate kiddushin with the second woman. And through a Mei Matzina, we would say that all arayot look just like Isha Lachuta, sets a paradigm in this manner. The Gemara says the problem with setting up a paradigm in that manner is that by the cases of Eshet Ach and Eshet Ish, which they have dinim that are more lekula than Isha Lachuta, marrying two sisters, you would not be able to learn from them. So the Gemara then concludes that the Parsha in Achremot of arayot ends with that Hekesh now brings together all the arayot and says all the arayot have the same din. And just like by marrying of two sisters, this second sister you cannot marry, you cannot generate kiddushin with, so too with all the isurei arayot in the parshia, you cannot generate kiddushin. And the Hekesh overcomes the deficits of the previous limudim, because by a Hekesh, you can't have a logical out. It's not like a Binyan Av or Mei Matzino, where you're making a logical argument to make this a paradigm, and then you can have exceptions to the paradigm. Over here, a Hekesh is a limud that says the juxtaposition or the inclusion of all these items into a single bucket means that all the dinim should be the same, irrespective of logical reasons otherwise. Now, the truth is, you could have learned that from the Pasuk in Dvarim, which says, Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. Over there, it says, Lo yikach also, that you don't have kiddushin. So why don't we just use this Hekesh that connects all the Rayot to tell us, just like you have no Kiddushin by Eshet Aviv, so too it would work with all the Rayot. So the answer to that might be is that the punishment for Lo Yikach Eshet Eshet Aviv is a punishment of Mitat Beitin of Sekila. And therefore, you would only know that, or you won't be able to extrapolate that din with the items that are similar to Eshet Aviv. On the other hand, now by including Achot Isha, then in that case you also include Chiyuve Karet. And so doing so, you cover all of the arayot, both those that are mitot beitin, as well as those that are mitot karet. None of them have kiddushin that are tofsin. The problem is that in Parshat Achremot, included in that parshia, is not only arayot, but also the erva of nida. And by nida, we know that you can create kiddushin with a nida, even though a nida is subject to a chiyub karet and is included in that parshia. And that's what the Gemara says, hakol modim, bavala nida, vala sutash, ain avlad mamzer. Everybody agrees here that when someone engages with a nida and has a child born from that relationship, or with a sota, that the resultant child is not considered to be a mamzer. Now again, for Tosafot, that's simple. The proof from here is the fact that if it's not a mamzer, there's obviously is kiddushin or kiddushin or tofsin over here, because Tosafot sees the two as being absolutely correlated. For those shitot like Rashi and the Ramban who separate the two issues, what you have to say over here is that this is either the result of what we've already done to correlate the two items, or it's the shitat of our Mishnah, which clearly correlates between arayot and kedushin tovsin and mamzerut, and therefore, if we have a case where the offspring is not a mamzer, then it's obvious that there was the ability to generate kedushin over here. The reason being, as Rashi notes over here, with regards to a nida, which is that the pasuk says, by nida, the end of Parshat Mitzora, v'imshacho v'ishkav ish ota, utehi nidata alav. So the use of the term utehi nidata alav, the Gemara determines that means that there is havaya. And as we've seen before, the word kicha or havaya indicate that there is kiddushin, and therefore by a nida we know that kiddushin are tofsin. So despite the fact that Shimon HaTeimani says that when it comes to chiyuve karet, that there is no kiddushin tofsin and the product of those marriages is a mamzer, he agrees by nida that there is no mamzerut, and that the kedushin are tovsin in that case from this pasuk. Obviously, for Rabbi Yoshua, who says it only applies to chiyuve mitot beitin, then nida as a chiyuv karet is already accepted from that rule of mamzer. And Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that anything generates a mamzer, any isur generates a mamzer, then obviously he also over here will have the pasuk of nida that accepts nida from the rule. As well as sota, where you have an iser lav by the sota, he also says that a kol modim by a sota, that ain't a vlad bamzer, that we learn out from Makzir Grushato, a Yitura Dekra that tells us by sota, that if there was a defiling of the woman, that there is a restriction against the husband staying together with this woman, and that's an iser lav, and for Rabbi Akiva, an iser lav generates mamzerut and prevents kiddushin. Nevertheless, over here, we say that the kiddushin stays in place. Because, as Rashi notes in Yevamot, when it comes to the sota, even though she's had an extramarital affair or done something incorrect, the kiddushin that she has with her husband are not dissolved. They are still intact. Now, the husband has an obligation to divorce his wife, not to marry his wife. There's a lav for him to stay together with his wife. Nevertheless, the kiddushin that they had originally had are still in place. And if the kiddushin are in place, if he violates that lav, and then they have a child, the child born from that will not be a mamzer because the kiddushin are still in place. Tosafot over here discusses that Rashi and wants to suggest that this din applies even after the husband divorces the sota and completely severs the kiddushin. Even if he takes her back at that point in time, it would not produce a mamzer, and kiddushin would be tofsin even according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rashi, at that point, you don't have kiddushin, and you violate a lav. According to Rabbi Kiva, you can't have kiddushin, and you would create a mamzer. Tosa, on the other hand, believes that that's not the case, and shows that the Gemara seemingly thinks that magzir sotato is even in a case where they've already severed their relationship. Lakayin, lakach omeri, diadina besota, datapsi ba kiddushin, afi magzir sotato, vena vlad mamzer, mi mashmut, tahaykra, to mepik minay de sota, asur lachzir. That you learn it from the psukim of Magzir Grushato. It says, Melo yuchal bala harishon asher shachal l'shuv l'kachta. So over there you see that he has the ability, when he's Magzir, to generate kiddushin. And since he has the ability to generate kiddushin, the Vlad is not a mamzer. The problem with that limud is then, for Rabbi Akiva, if through Magzir Grushato we're saying that a sota after divorce does not a mamzer, then in the basic case of Magzir Grushato, it should also not produce a mamzer, and that's not true, the shita of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, in the end, the Rabbi Shlomo Midarvish says that Rashi's Perush seems to be much more palatable, and he says, even according to Rashi, you could learn that after the divorce, there is still no mamzerit created, which is, kevin dechoz mad lo garsha lo yavlad mamzer, as long as he hasn't divorced her, then if he illicitly violates the lav and has a child with her, it's not a mamzer, even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's still not a mamzer. So then, after he divorces, just because he divorces her now, it shouldn't create an additional isur now that would make it worse than it was before. Meaning that when he's married to her, or when he's divorced from her, the divorce itself should not generate an additional isur. And therefore, if the status prior to the divorce was that it doesn't create a mamzer, that will stay in place even after the divorce. And so based on that, the Rav Shlomo Midarvish says, even according to Rashi's interpretation, you could come to the conclusion of the Tosafot that no matter when you're machzir sototo, it does not produce a mamzer. And the limud is from the limud of Rashi, and not the limud of the Ri. The Gemara then queries and says, okay, if we have these exceptions to the rule, and Nida, which is one of the exceptions to the rule, is found in Parshat Achrimot amongst the Arayot, now I have a choice. I could be Mekish to Nida, and say that everything's like Nida, which means that Kedushin Ar Tov Sin, and there is no Mamzer, or I could be Mekish everything to Achot Ishto, which also is a Chiyuv Karet, but there is no Kedushin, and there is Mamzerut. So how do I know which one to use? So the Gemara says, when it comes to a Hekesh, we always go the Chumrah, not the Kula. And so, therefore, being Mekish it to Achotisha brings you a Chumrah versus putting it to Nida, which would bring you a Kula. Tosafot over here already questions that, well, it's really a Chumrah and a Kula. It's really a mix of items, because if you compare it to an Achotishto, then you're right, Kedushin are not Tovsin, and there is Mamzerut. But on the other hand, the woman is not Asura to everyone else in the world, because she's not married. On the other hand, if you are Mekish it to Nida, then in the case of Nida, you're right, there will be Kedushin Tov Sin, and there will be no Mamzer, but on the other hand, it will make her a Surah to everybody else in the world. So there's a mix of Kulot and Chumrot over here. Nevertheless, Tosafot says in the end that Mamzerut, or the production of a Mamzer, is a much more chamur or serious issue, because first of all, Mamzerut is permanent, unlike marriage or Kedushin, which can be dissolved, as well as the whole nature of Mamzerut and the shame Mamzerut, which blocks them from coming into Kal Hashem, that in itself is such a great Chumrah, so that's what determines here that is the Chumrah. Others suggest that when we're talking about Chumrah and Kula, we're talking about from the perspective of the individual. We're not talking about from other people's perspectives. From other people's perspectives, they'd rather she wasn't married. But from the perspective of the individual himself, the more stringent outcome is the case where he's considered not to be married and produces a mamzer from that relationship. So therefore, we are mekish to achotisha and not to nida, and that's where we left off yesterday. So now we have an alternative answer as to how we know that kedushin are not tovsin, which is proposed by Rav Acher by Yaakov Amar, ache b'kav v'chomer miyivama. We can learn out of b'kav v'chomer from a yivama. Ma miyivama shi b'lav. In the case of yivama, which is only a restriction of a lav. Now, that statement in of itself is not so clear. We saw in the Gemara in Yevamot that it's actually a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav believes that there is no lav over here. Shmuel believes that there is a lav over here. And even according to Shmuel, who says there is a lav, he believes that Kedushin are tovsim by a Yevama. So what you have to say here when he says Shehi b'lav, you either have to say that he means it in the looser sense of lav, which means a lav abba michlala say, which would also be inclusive of Rav's position. In the Gemara in Yevamot, Tosfot over there suggests when Rav says a Yevama who is waiting to have Chalitza or Yibum perform with her, where she's not allowed to marry outside parties, and Rav believes over there that the Kedushin are not Tovsim, that does not mean that he disagrees fundamentally with Shmuel that there's no Lav, but rather just a block of the Kedushin. He might believe both, that there is a Lav and a block of Kedushin, and therefore this would be the Shitat Rav over here, Lefi Balei HaTosafot. According to the Ramban, it's according to the Shita of Shmuel, but it's got to be an adjusted version of Shmuel because Shmuel himself believes that there are Kedushin Tovsin by Yevama. So, Ma Yevama Shi Belav, Lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin. Over there, Kedushin don't work because over there it says, Lo Tia Eshet Ameta Chutzalish Zar. And so, Lo Tia, the Havaya, can't be created with some outside party when she has a Zika Yibum on her. Therefore, we see that Kedushin don't work there. Chayeve mitot, v'chayeve kreitot, lo kol shekein. And we're talking about much more severe arayot, like chiyuvei mitot beitin, things that are subject to capital punishment in court, or chayeve kreitot that are subject to the chiyuv kareit. Certainly, the kedushin should not be topsin over there. Gemara says, well, ihochi, that's a nice source in terms of making it a kal v'chomer, shar chayeve lamin nami. Why don't we say the same with regards to other lavin? Now, obviously, that's not a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer says, if I have something kal like a lav, and it says, kedushin are tovsin, we should be able to, through a logical argument say that the items that are more chamur, like chiyuve mitut beitin and chiyuve karet, also don't have kedushin tobsin. Like right here says, maybe also chayvei lavin, not through a kavachomer, but through a mei matzino. Just like this establishes a paradigm by the chiyuve lavin that there is no kedushin. So too, all chiyuve lavin should not have the ability to create kedushin, which would be good for the shita at Rabbi Akiva, but for everybody else who thinks that the lack of kiddushin only applies to either chiyuvei mitot beitin or chiyuvei mitot beitin and chiyuvei karet, what are you going to do with that? Samara Papa, chiyuvei lavin behejek tibu. By chiyuvei lavin, we have an explicit statement. It's in Parshat Kitetze, when it talks about Yerusha, it says, ki te'el ish shtei nashim, an individual has two wives, achat ahuva v'achat snua, one of which is loved, one of which is hated. Is there such thing as someone who's hated by Hashem or loved by Hashem? Because if we're talking about, as Rashi notes over here, how the husband thinks about these women, whether he loves them or hates them, that is irrelevant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu consider that in the question of whether this guy is going to switch around the Yerusha? He's going to give the Yerusha to the younger child because of his beloved wife versus the wife that he hates who has the Bechor. For Hashem, that hatred and love have no bearing on what he's doing. It's clear that there he is wrong. So what does it mean here that Ahava usnua? But it must be that the Pasuk that's telling us about Ahava and Snua is telling us about something that is beloved to Hashem and hated by Hashem. And what is that? Elo Ahava, Ahava b'nisua. Ahava means someone who has a proper marriage. Snua, snua benuseha, benisueha. And snua means someone who's hated in their marriage. And therefore, what we're speaking about here is love and hatred. That means someone who's doing right and someone who's doing wrong. The one who did right has a proper marriage with kiddushin that are tofsin. The one who did wrong has kiddushin, but they're doing something wrong. So they have kiddushin despite the fact that they're in violation of something. Well, how do you create kiddushin when you're in violation of something? If you just told me that if you have Chiyuvei karet, chiyuvei mitut beitin, and chiyuvei lavin, none of those allow you to create kiddushin. Rekarmar rachmana kitiena. And the pasuk there says, kitiena ish shtei nashim, that this individual has two wives. So you see from this that he's able to generate kiddushin with this woman, despite the fact that she is somehow illegal or illicit for him to marry her. So you see the fact that there is something like this. Tosafot over here says, why can't we say that the ahuva and snua over here have to do with the behavior of the women? One is a tzedeket, and one is a rishat. That one of them could be this righteous woman, and that's why she's ahuva. And the snua could be this woman who is an avaryan, someone who violates the Torah. And that could be the ahuva and snua that we're speaking about here. Tosafot rejects that explanation by saying that despite that fact, that should not have any influence in God's eyes on the Yerusha. Meaning that Yerusha is a normative halacha that is not governed by the behavior of the mother about which child is entitled to the Bechor or the Nachala, and that wouldn't affect it. And therefore, that can't be the explanation of the Psukim. Others say, because the way the Pasuk writes it is, ki tiyena le'ish shtei nashim achat uva v'achat snua, that the ahuva and snua is from the point of ki tiyena. At the moment of kiddushin, there was already ahuva and snua. So it obviously can't be talking about the man himself, because obviously he wouldn't have married her if he hated her at that time. So the Kitiyana says, at the moment of Kiddushin, there was Ahuva Unsnua. And that could only come about if the problem stems from the Kiddushin itself. And that's where they explain the Gemara as to why it's talking about Kiddushin and not about either a Tzedeket or a Rishat, or about the husband's love or hatred for the women. So the Gemara therefore concludes that from Yevama you can learn out from a Kal V'chomer, Chiyuvei Mitot Beitin and Chiyuvei Karet, that Kiddushin are not Tovsin. As far as Chiyuvei Lavin, you can't do that because you have this offsetting pasuk that's here. So that's what it says here. Now, the Gemara shows you that when you have an offsetting pasuk, that it ruins this limud from Yevama. Because by the case of Lavin, we say we have ki tiyena ish shtei nashim, and that precludes you from learning out by Chiyuvei Lavin that there is a lack of kiddushin. Why don't we say the same thing by Chiyuvei Karet? And say, yes, you learn a kal v'chomer from Yevama, but on the other side we have Nida. And we saw before that Nida has kiddushin tovsin by it, even though there's a chiyuv karet, and so that should undermine the kavachomer as well. So then Tosfot says, "Yesh lomar the kavachomer zeh einu ela gilui milta ba'alma," that this kavachomer is a gilui milta to tell you which way to learn. It's not that it's a fundamental kavachomer, and this is the limud itself, but rather we have a choice between making a hekesh to achot isha, are making a hekesh to nida, and we don't know which way to go. So not knowing which way to go, the pasuk of Yivama, which gives us the Kal V'chomer, tells us, push the hekesh towards Achotisha, and don't push it towards nida. And that way, Tosfot is explaining Rav Acher Yaakov's challenge to the previous answer is not really challenging fundamentally how we know that Kiddushin are not tovsin by Chiyuvei Karet, but rather, it's telling us, how do you know which way the Hekesh is to go? Before we said, oh, it was a Kula and a Chumrah, we go to Chumrah, Rav Acher Yaakov is offering an alternative way to know which way the Hekesh should go because of Yivama. And Yivama gives us a paradigm that says that when you have a choice of which way to go, you lean towards the side that says that Kiddushin are not tovsin because we find such a precedent by Yivama. And that Kol V'chomer tells us which way, or a Gili Milta, as to which way the Hekesh should go. And that would narrow the scope of the machloket here between Rav Acher Yaakov and the previous reasoning. Whereas the way that we read it originally, and the simpler way to read it, is that he's arguing fundamentally on the source. In that case, what you have to say is that you wouldn't have Nida come and undermine what is learnt from Yivama and say, well, by Nida, which is Chiyuv Karet, Kedushin are Tovsin, so to all the other items have Kedushin be Tovsin, because there you have an offsetting statement of Achotisha. So over there you have Achotisha versus Nida. Those are offsetting. Yivama then will come along and teach us what the din is. In the case of Chiyuvei Karet, I have some precedents or paradigms that say yes Kiddushin, like Nida. I have some that say no Kiddushin, like Achotisha. And now the Kal V'chomer Yivama comes to teach me the fundamental din that yes, Chiyuvei Karet will not have Kiddushin be Tovsin. Whereas by the case of Lav, I don't have a Kal V'chomer, I only have a Mem Matzinu. I'm trying to establish a paradigm. When I'm trying to establish a paradigm, I have two paradigms here. I have a paradigm of Yivama, and I have a paradigm of Kitian Le'ish De Nashim. So why would you favor Yivama over Kitian Le'ish De Nashim? Especially since Kitian Le'ish De Nashim seems to explicitly deal with the case of Kiddushin and say that there is Kiddushin in those cases. And that's why I will favor by Levin to say that Kiddushin are Tovsin. Now the Gemara says, wait, according to Rabbi Akiva, Damar, as I mentioned before, for Rabbi Akiva, the Kal V'chomer from Yivama would be really nice because that would also preclude cases of Le'avin from generating Kiddushin, which is his Shita, but then Kitiena b'may mukim. How is he going to explain the Pasuk of Kitiena the Ish Dei Nashim? How is he going to explain the Ahuva and Snua there if the problem is in their marriage and yet the Kiddushin are Tovsin? So he's going to explain it in a case Ba'almana the Kohen Gadol. In the case of an Almana the Kohen Gadol, Uke Rabbi Simai. As I mentioned before, it's machloket amoraim within the shita of Rabbi Akiva as to how far Rabbi Akiva's shita goes. Rabbi Akiva agrees that by chiyuvei mitot beit and chiyuvei karet, that kedushin are not tovsin. On top of that, he says that any illegal marriage, the kedushin are tovsin. So Rabbi Simai is of the opinion that's only true by lavin. That's only true by isurei lav, that Rabbi Akiva says that. And the exception would be in almanat the kohen gadol, with the exception of Amanah the Kohen Gadol, which is a lav, sharei amra Torah lo yichalel, that he's not allowed to profane himself by doing this. Chilulin oseh vein oseh mamzerut, that profaning the child that is born from the marriage of the Amanah to the Kohen Gadol results in a Kohen Chalal and not a mamzer, because you have a limud from the pasuk that specifically says he's a Chalal, and from that we learn he's a Chalal and not a mamzer. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva believes, well, all chiyuvei lavin, that you do produce mamzerut, because those are illegal marriages. But the one exception to that rule is the lav of almanah the Kohen Gadol. And that's how you'll explain the case here, which is, it's an almanah. The Kohen Gadol is one of the two wives over here. And that's the snu'ah wife, the kiddushin that are problematic. And the other wife is a proper good marriage, and she's the ahuva. And they will not produce mamzerim, and kiddushin will be tovsin in that case. But, the Rabbi Yeshvav, Damar Bovenitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef Shomer Kol Shein Lo Biam Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. Yeshvav, who sees Rabbi Akiva's din as being much broader and suggesting that, according to Rabbi Akiva, any illicit marriage would result in a Mamzer, including an Almanah the Kohen Gadol, then how is he going to explain that Pasuk? So, Anichal Rabbi Yeshvav Ilu Afukim in Rabbi Simai Ka'ate. If Rabbi Yeshvav is coming to narrowly argue specifically on Rabbi Simai's statement and say that by all Levin, Rabbi Akiva creeps a mamzer, with the exception of Almanah the Kohen Gadol, and he's coming along to say, even by Almanah the Kohen Gadol, it does produce a mamzer, shapir, then it works out. Because then, you could explain the case in the Kitiana Ish Neshtei Nashim, in the case of a Mitzri or an Edomi, or someone who has a restriction through an Asay, which is Dorsh Lishi Yavou Bikal Hashem, that they're allowed to join the Kal Hashem after the third generation, and that is an assay. The deal from that is that it is a lav abal mechlal assay. It's a negative precept that comes from that that tells us do not marry them before that time. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, he agrees that it's only a lav, a negative precept that can generate a mamzer, but an assay cannot. So we'll explain the case of Kitiana Ish Shtei Nashim. The snua is a case where he marries someone where there's a restriction of an assay, marries a mitzri or an edomi, where there's only an iser assay. And the other, auva, is somewhere when there is a good marriage. Ele'i, tamad de nafshekamar, afilo chayve asei. If you say Rabbi Yishvab is coming to say, not specifically argue on Rabbi Simai, but rather say categorically, Rabbi Akiva believes any restricted marriage results in a mamzer, that would mean that even isurei asei would result in a mamzer, according to Rabbi Akiva. Then what is the pasuk of kitiyah, the shtei nashim? How is he explaining that snua aspect there? Bibula, the kohen gadol. It's in a case where it's a woman who is a bi'ula, who's marrying a kohen gadol. We know that a kohen gadol, it says, isha bi'btula yikach, and from there we are medayik, that he has to take a woman who is a bi'tula, and not a bi'ula. And that's a lav abal mechlal assay. So why is that different than any other assay where we have a lav abal mechlal assay? Because kohen gadol is a unique din that's only applicable to the kohen gadol, not applicable to people in general, as opposed to the other essays of Mitzri and Edomi, and therefore there's a kula there that it won't generate a mamzer. So even according to Rabbi Yishvav, even according to Rabbi Kiva, where every problematic marriage produces a mamzer, there'll be one exception to that rule, and that is the lav abal mechlal assay, which is that a kohen gadol marries a bi'ula. And as Rashi points out over here, just because she's a bi'ula does not make her automatically a surah to the kohen gadol. Because we know, first of all, a kohen gadol cannot marry an almanah, he cannot marry a grusha. So how is this woman a bi'ula without one of those two items happening? Or the possibility that she was a zona. So any of three of those are also restricted bi'isur lav to the kohen gadol. So how does he get to a case of bi'ula where it's only an isur assay? So Rashi says that it's a case where she was a pnuya, and she had bnia as a pnuya. When she was an unmarried woman, she had intercourse that made her into a bi'ula. That woman, according to all the Tanaim, except for Rabbi Eliezer, believes that that woman's not a zona, even though she's deemed to be a bi'ula. And therefore, the woman would not be restricted from marrying the kohen gadol, except for the fact that she is a bi'ula. The other possibility is to suggest that it's a case, as the Bach notes over here, a case where she was married when she was a ktana, and she had miyun. She dissolved the marriage through the rabbinic institution of miyun, and she had bi'adin. So she could also be a bi'ula in that instance, without having the problem of grusha, almana, or zona. And that's how you would get to this illicit marriage that would be set up by Shtei Nashim that would not be subject to Mamzerut, according to Rabbi Akiva. In the more expansive view of what Rabbi Yishvav says, that Rabbi Akiva made everything asur except for this case of Bula the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, well, now that you came up with that solution for Kitiana the Shtei Nashim for Rabbi Akiva, why don't you say the Chachamim explain it that same way? And therefore it would narrow what is accepted from the din of Yivama. Then we could say, or we can reconcile, where we have a chance to reconcile between psukim, we can now suggest that Yivama suggests that both all by lav, chiyuve koret and chiyuve mitot beitin, the child is a mamzer and there's no kiddushin. And it's only by chiyuve asei where we would say that there is tufisat kiddushin, and that would be the explanation in kintiyana ish de nashim. So why don't the rabbanon ademuki la b'chayuve lavim nukuna b'chayuve asei? Why are they setting up that pasuk of kintiyana ish de nashim to come to preclude the limud from Yivama? They could make it about a chiyuv asei, like Rabbi Akiva did, and then they would keep everything intact. The lavin would still be problematic in terms of kiddushin, and it would only be chiyuv asei that would be accepted from the rule. Chaynu achayv asei b'mayninu. The problem is, which chiyuv asei are you speaking about? Ishtehen mitzriot. If they are both mitzriot, shtehen snuot. They're both problematic, because if they're both mitzriot, and here the Gemara is giving away what it assumes here, which is that there are shtei nashim, two women. And underlying that means shtei nashim is that the two women are derived from a similar nature. So now if you say they're both mitzriot, then both of them are illegal for him to marry b'mitzvah tasei. And so they both should be considered snuot. Even though you could argue that one of them is a mitzrit, rishona or shnia, and the other one is a mitzrit, shlishit, she is mutar lavo b'kal. Nevertheless, what you have to say is that a mitzrit shlishit, in essence, is not called a mitzrit anymore. And therefore, they're not considered to be shtei nashim that come from a singular background. Yachat mitzrit v'achat Yisraelit. If one of them is a mitzrit and one of them is an Yisraelit, which would produce a isur asei by the Mitzrit and the Israelite would be fine. Shtei nashim am echad beinan. You need two women that come from a similar background or have a similar issue with regards to them. And that comes out because it says shtei nashim. These two women are of a similar ilk. So ibu la kohen gadol. So let's suggest that it's the other explanation we gave in Rabbi Kiva. That's a bula la kohen gadol. Mikiv ki tiena le kohen. It says ki tiena le ish. Ish means anybody. It doesn't specify that it's to a kohen. Rabbi Akiva, Baal Korchech, Shavke Lekra, Dabi Dochik, Umuki, Anafshe. For Rabbi Akiva, he was in a sense forced into a corner. Baal Korchech, against what would have been the natural way to explain the Pasuk left that and had to be explained otherwise because of Dinim we know from other places. So the Pasuk itself was forced, or it forced itself into such a position because you can't explain it by Chiyuve Lavin according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. But if you were not pressed against the wall in that manner, you would explain the pasuk, Yitiyana l'shtei nashim, that the two women are of a similar ilk. And that means that one of them has an Iser Lav associated with them, and one of them has no Iserim associated with them. And that would be the simplest way to explain it, that they come, both are Yisraeliot, they come from a similar background, but one of them has an Iser Lav, and one of them has no Iser associated with them. So now the Gemara goes back to the final category in the Mishnah, which is Chol Mish Ein La. Lo alav, v'lo al achirim kiddushin. Someone who has no ability to generate kiddushin, not with this individual and not with anyone else, then the vlad kemota, the child, follows after that individual. So you have two statements here. First of all, that it's impossible to generate kiddushin with this individual. And number two is the child that's born follows the yichus of the mother. The two examples that were brought there in the Mishnah are nachrit, a non-Jewish woman, and a shivcha knanit. So now, the Gemara asks, obviously, by Nachrit, who is not Shayechet in the mitzvot, then there's no ability to generate Kiddushin. So the question revolves really around the Shivcha Knanit, who is Chayevet in mitzvot like an Isha. How do we know that a Shivcha Knanit, Minolon, how do we know that Kiddushin are not Tovsin by the Shivcha Knanit? Amravuna, Amarkra, Shvulachem Po, Imachamor. It says by Avram Avinu, when he's going with Yitzchak to the Akedah, he says to his Abadim that came with him, you guys stay here with the Chamor. And when it's saying ima chamor, the Gemara dashins am hadomel chamor. It's a nation who is compared to a donkey. And just like a behemar, an animal or a donkey has no ability to generate kiddushin, so too a shivcha knanit or an eved knani has no ability to generate kiddushin. So ashkan delo tafsi ba kiddushay. Okay, so here you prove to us that kiddushin are not tofsin by a shivcha knanit. Vladak mota minolan. How do we know that the child follows the yichus of the mother? Damakra, the pasuk says, "Aishavi elada tiela aduneha." In a case where a adon gives to an eved ivri the shifra knanit, when he releases the eved ivri, the ishavi elada, the woman and her children belong to the adon. So you see that the children born between a marriage of an eved ivri who's a full-fledged Jew Israel to a shifra knanit, the children are deemed to be avadim like the mother, and therefore you see that the yichus follows the yichus of the mother. Now, Tosafot already asks over here, why isn't that already obvious from the fact that the kiddushin are not tofsin? What's the Gemara's havamina here? When there is no kiddushin, the possibility that the child would follow the father and be kasher? We already have cases in the second case in the Mishnah where it says that even where kiddushin are tofsin, and there's still a lav involved in the marriage, that the child follows the pagum, the one who is problematic in that marriage, then certainly here where there's no kiddushin, it should follow the one who is more pagum. And in that instance, it would be the woman who is a knanit. So why would you even have a havamina that it should follow the father? He does bring the possibility that the father is a mamzer and the mother is a shifcha knanit. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk over here, that you follow the mother and not the father, even in the case where there's a pagam in the father. But he says that's only true, the shita of Rabbi Tarfon, who says that you can get rid of mamzerut through such a marriage. But according to the Rabbana, it doesn't work. How are you going to explain this Gemara over here? And so in the end he says, V'nerei harchei perusho, v'lada kemoha, that what it means that the child follows the mother, minalan shalei karui b'no l'shum davar. What Tosfot says is the Gemara is trying to say, how do you know that this child has no connection to the father whatsoever? V'afilu k'b'no mamzer lo'avi. Even like a mamzer, he would not be, meaning that even a mamzer child that is born is still connected to the father, and he has to have kibud avim, and all the mitzvot that are associated between a father and a son exist there. But how do you know that that's not the case here? I mean that the relationship is totally severed to the point that the father has nothing to do with this child whatsoever. And that's the nature of the Gemara's question. And that's why we can't learn that out from the lack of Kiddushin. Yeah, the lack of Kiddushin says, of course, this child's going to be problematic and an Eved Kenani. But how do you know that there's no relationship whatsoever between that child and the father? And that's learned out from the pasuk that they bring over here. Others say that after we have the proof that the child follows the mother, by definition, that tells you there was no kiddushin in the marriage before, and then it would be unnecessary to learn the din or the lack of kiddushin because you know that. And therefore, in the next Gemara, the question of kiddushin by a nachrit would be unnecessary because you were learning out from a shifra knanit, and therefore the upcoming Gemara, which has that girsi in it, they're not goreis that in the Gemara, and they assume once we've established that it follows the mother, then we don't need to know that kiddushin are not tofsin by a nachrit. On the other hand, the Gemara says, nachrit minalan, how do you know that by a nachrit, a non-Jewish woman, that the kiddushin are not tofsin, amakra, lo titchatein bam, that you may not marry them. So as Rashi learns over here, lo titchatein bam, is not simply that there's a restriction against marrying them, but lo te'er lecha bam torat chitun. You don't have the ability to generate kiddushin by the non-Jewish woman. The problem with that explanation is what I already raised before, which is if they're non-Jewish, of course there's no kiddushin with them. They're not shayach in the mitzvot of the Torah. And that leads Rova in the Gemara in Yevamot on Daf Ayin Vav to say, Pasuk is talking about them after a conversion. The lo titchatein bam means that even after they convert from the seven nations, you still cannot generate kiddushin with them. Well, if that's the case, then what's the proof here that you can't generate kiddushin with a nachrit, with a woman who is not Jewish? So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says that this pasuk that's found at the end of Parshat Etchanan, when the Gemara quotes lo titchatein bam, it doesn't mean it's quoting that as the source, it's saying lo titchatein bam, dot, 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 dot. And the remainder of the pasuk says, bitcha lo titen livno, ubito lo tikach livnecha. And that lotikach shows you that there is no kiddushin. And therefore, lotitchatein bam says there's no kiddushin even after they convert from the seven nations. And lotikach tells you that even while they are non-Jewish, then there is no kiddushin. According to what we said before, that from Ishabi Leada, you can learn out that kiddushin aren't tofsin. There are some Rishonim that don't have the girsa of this question whatsoever, but they jump to the subsequent question, which is an extremely important din, which is, when there is a mixed marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew, how do we determine whether the child is Jewish or not? And that's what the Gemara says, v'adak mota minolan. How do we know that the child born from this marriage, if it's a non-Jewish mother and a Jewish father, that the child is like the mother and the child is not Jewish? And in the reverse, if it was a mother who was Jewish, the child would be Jewish. So, Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Damakra. The pasuk says, now I'm going to read you the whole set of psukim. It's two psukim together. And from that, we'll see the different limudim that come out from the Rishonim. It says, V'lo titchatein bam. Now, bam refers to the psukim, Aleph and Bet before, which are talking about the Shiva Amamim, the seven nations. And Pashtu, the pasuk, is that this is referencing the seven nations and not the other nations. We'll see later on in the Gemara how we extend it to other nations. But that has ramifications there in Yevamot, and Daf Chav Gimel, Tosafot, and in Gemara and Avodah Zarah, Tosafot talks about the ramifications of that with regards to other Isurim that we learn out of Lo Titchatein Bam, which seem uniquely focused on the seven nations. But it says, Lo Titchatein Bam, Bitcha Lo Titen Livno. Your daughter, you should not give to their son. Ubito, and their daughter, Lo Tikach Livnecha, you should not take for your son. Why? Ki Asiret Bincha Me'acharai, because they will cause your son to deviate, to leave after me, the Derech Hashem, v'abdu Elohim Acherim, and then they will worship foreign gods, v'charef Hashem b'chem, mishmitcha maher, and God will become angry with you, and wipe you out in a expeditious manner. Now, the Gemara here is going to say, the Pasuk says, ki yasir bincha me'achorai, bincha ba misraelit karui bincha, your son that comes from a Jewish mother is called your son, means remains Jewish, v'ein bincha ba mina uvedet kuchavim karui bincha el bina. On the other hand, a child, a son that is born from a non-Jewish mother, it's not called your son, but her son. Amar Ravina, from here, Ravina says, Shma Mina, Ben Bitcha Ba Min Oevei Kochavim, a grandchild that comes through your daughter and a non-Jewish man, Kari Bincha, is called your Ben. Now, the question or the problem here is, what did Ravina add that wasn't the case that we already knew from the statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? That question leads Rishonim, you can see, we'll see this in Balei HaTosafot, to explain the psukim differently. Rashi does not address that specifically, but I think it's implicit in Rashi's explanation of the pasuk, and he notes two things about the pasuk. One is that the pasuk that says, Ki asir et bincha me'achorai, There are two things that that pasuk does that indicates to us what it's speaking about. The first of which is that it says ki yasir and not ki tasir. The formulation of the verb of sarah to deviate is done in the male form, which is ki yasir et bincha, and not ki tasir, that she will move your son away. From that, Rashi says that you can see in the pasuk. The pasuk before said bincha lo titen libno, do not give your daughter to their son, ubito lo tikach levanecha, and do not take his daughter for your son, ki yasir, because he will then cause the child to leave. Now, who's the he that it's referring to? According to Rashi, it refers to the son-in-law that you took, the non-Jewish son-in-law that you took, ki yasir, et bincha, your son, away from me. So what you see from here is that they're only worried about the case where it's a non-Jewish son-in-law, that he will cause the grandchild to leave the Derech Hashem. On the other hand, it does not say ki tasir, that the non-Jewish daughter-in-law will cause the grandchild to leave the Derech Hashem. The reason it doesn't say that is because that grandchild, through the non-Jewish daughter-in-law, is not Jewish. So since they're not Jewish, they're not going to leave the Derech Hashem because they were never in the Derech Hashem. They were never considered to be Jewish. From there, you learn matrilineal descent and not patrilineal descent. Because it says ki asir in the male formulation, which means that the non-Jewish in-law, which is the son-in-law, will cause the child, the grandchild, to go away from the Derech Hashem. Now, how do you know it's talking about the grandchild here and not simply saying ki asir et bincha, that they're going to take away your child? Your child means your son who's married to their daughter is now going to be caused to deviate from the way of Hashem. How do you know the pasuk's not speaking about that? Because the pasuk then should have said ki asir et bitcha, that it takes away your daughter. Because you have an equal problem. You have a daughter who is married to a non-Jewish son-in-law, or you have a son who's married to a non-Jewish daughter-in-law. The pasuk, seemingly, if you say, is speaking about that child that married out, it says, ki asir et bincha. We're worried about your son being taken over by this non-Jewish daughter-in-law. So why aren't we worried about the fact that your daughter would be taken away or deviated from the path by your non-Jewish son-in-law? And as the Ramban says over here, there'd be more reason to believe that that would happen, because the woman, especially in their day, moved in with the family of the husband, and therefore she's going to be the one who's taken away from any Jewish roots and taken over to this non-Jewish family. And so certainly you'd have to worry about here. So the fact that the pasuk, and you can see this in the Tosafot 3 Azakim when he explains Rashi Shita, that it says, Menoktiv ki yasir et bitcha, klomar sheyasir ovi kochavim shu chatancha, your son-in-law, bitcha, your daughter, shititein lo, shma mina shaleo lo ikpida Torah. Over there, the Torah is not worried about her. They're not worried about the children. And the bincha that we're speaking about here is the grandchild. And so through those two steps, what you see is, number one, the pasuk is speaking about a grandchild. And in speaking about a grandchild, we're only worried about a grandchild that comes through your Jewish daughter. And so from that, you learn out matrilineal descent. And the Torah is worried about that grandchild born to your daughter, because that child is the only one that is Jewish in this scenario. In doing so, Rashi then could implicitly explain to us what Ravina added over here, which is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who teach us from the word ki asir, they teach us that the one we're worried about here is a male figure, a male non-Jewish figure, causing somebody to leave the faith. Who that somebody is might be explained here by Ravina, which is Shmamina ben bitcha ba min oved kochavim korei bincha. Why is that? Because the pasuk says ki asir bincha instead of ki asir et bitcha, or instead of ki asir et bitcha, bincha ubitecha. The fact that it says bincha, not bitcha, teaches you that we're talking about the grandchild and not the child itself. So that could be the way to explain what Ravina's adding. Ravina's adding, I can show you that it's talking about the grandchild and not the child, because it uses bincha, not bitcha. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yochanan are teaching you that it is the case where it's the son-in-law and your daughter where we're speaking about, because it uses lashon of ki asir instead of ki tasir. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam gives two other explanations of how to read the pasuk. I'm only going to give one of the two explanations because the Ri rejects the second explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam, but both of them are of a similar nature, which is that the bincha that is spoken about in the pasuk is referring to your child, which is lo titchatein bam, do not marry them, bitcha lo titen livno, do not give your daughter to their son, ubito lo tikach livnecha, and his daughter do not take for your son. Ki yasir et bincha me'achorai. Because what is the problem? Ki yasir is referring to the mechutan, the father-in-law of your son. He will cause your son to leave the faith. And so the way to read the pasuk is that we're afraid that your son's new father-in-law is going to take him off the derech and have him worship Avodah Zarah. But what you see from that pasuk is that the Torah is only worried about your son leaving the derech. How come the Torah does not worry about the grandchildren that come from that marriage? What you see from that is that the grandchildren from that marriage are not Jewish, because the Torah does not worry about them at all. So from the conclusion from Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is, the Torah is worried about the new mechutan, non-Jewish mechutan, taking your son away from the faith. And in taking your son away from the faith, it also shows you that it's not worried about the grandchildren because they are not Jewish. And therefore, the conclusion from Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's statement is that children born to a non-Jewish mother are not Jewish. Ravina comes to add the opposite side of the picture, which says, but from there you also can see that children that are born to your daughter who is Jewish and non-Jewish son-in-law, they are Jewish, because that would be the extrapolation of the din. The problem by the case of the non-Jewish daughter-in-law is that the children aren't Jewish because of the non-Jewish daughter-in-law. But that implies that if it was a Jewish daughter with a non-Jewish son-in-law, the children would be Jewish. And that's what Ravina is extrapolating from the din of Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. There is an alternate girsa in our Gemara, which would make the whole thing read a little easier, which is a girsa that's brought by the Rif over here, which says, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Demakra, Kisar Bincha Me'acharai, Bincha Karoi Bincha, Vein Bincha Ba Min Achrit Karoi Bincha. That your son is called your son, but your son from a non-Jewish mother is not called your son. Which is basically the Rabbeinu Tam Shita written more explicitly in the words of the Gemara, rather than the Nusach that we have in the Gemara, where the Rabbeinu Tam is trying to read that into the words. So now the Gemara says, Neima Kasava Ravina Ovi Kochavim Ve'ebed Abal Bat Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. Now you should just know, and you should see the Gemara here cross references Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and it says Ein Sham Heitev, because the Gemara in Yevamot has the exact opposite Girsa, and truthfully the Girsa there makes a lot more sense, because what does the Hava mean that the child here should be a mamzer? What end in this relationship, and what if this marriage should generate a mamzer at all? And why should you consider it at all to be a mamzer? And therefore, the Gemara there begins a different way, which is, Lema kazar ravina, ovi kochavim, evet abal bat yisrael, vlad kasher, that the vlad is kasher. And then the Gemara says, nehi de mamzer lo avi. Okay, it may not be a mamzer, kasher nami lo avi. Who says that the child is completely kasher? Yisrael pasul mikre. It's called Yisrael Pasul. Our Gemara comes to the same conclusion, but it starts with the Hava Mina the other way around. Again, the Gemara Yevamot makes more sense, because from Ravina's statement, it seems like a child born from a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father is kasher, a complete Yisrael, according to Ravina. And that's what the Gemara asks in Yevamot. So let's say that he's completely kasher, meaning not only can he marry anybody in the Kahal, if he has a daughter, that she could even marry the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol, that this child is so completely Israeli. The answer that the Gemara gives there is, okay, Ravina says they're not a mamzer, but he doesn't say they're kasher. They are what we call an Yisrael pagum. They can marry into the Kahal, but maybe they are precluded from marrying Kohanim, or people who want Yichus wouldn't marry these types of children, even though they are quote-unquote Jewish children. Our Gemara does it the other way by saying, Neima kasava Ravina ovi kochavim rebaal bat Yisrael vlad mamzer. Gemara says, Nehi de kasher lo avi, mamzer lo avi. He may not be kasher, but he also may not be a mamzer. Pasul mikre, he's called a pasul. The halacha, the Rishonim argue about whether we paskin like this din that the Gemara concludes about Ravina, as to whether a child born from a Israelite and a non-Jew, but that child is completely kshera and a complete, full-fledged Israelite, or whether we do paskin that there is some sort of psul here that would preclude them from marrying Kohanim. In the end, bidyavad, everybody agrees that if the Kohen marries her, then we just let it go. The question is, the chatchila, we're choshesh for this shita of Ravina. So now, the Gemara says, what we've noted already, that the psukim in the end of Parshat Etchanan, ha'o b'shiva goyim k'tiv. That's only talking about the seven nations where you have to eliminate them from the land. Sharumot minolon. How do you know that the other nations are also, there's din here that kedushin are not tovsin with them? So my says, Amakra, ki asiret bincha. Rabot kol amisirim. Because it says, ki asiret bincha, it says anybody who would cause them to deviate from the way of Hashem. So my says, anicha the Rabbi Shimon the Darish time of the Kra. That works well for Rabbi Shimon, who is Doresh time of the Kra. We've discussed this machlok many times, the machlok between Rabbi Shimon, as to whether we're Doresh time of the Kra. Now, as the Rambam and the Ramban both point out, the Rabbanon also are Doresh time of the Kra. The difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is that time of a Kara have normative impact on the halacha. It's derived from a machloket about taking a collateral from a almanah who you have to go in and out every day to give her the item back because she's poor and she needs it each day, which will cause her to have a bad name amongst her neighbors, and therefore you're not allowed to take collateral from a widow. Rabbi Shimon says it's clear we're talking about a poor widow, and therefore the din is only applicable by a poor widow, by a rich widow where you don't have to return it every day. The issue does not exist, and therefore the halacha does not exist there. The Chachamim say that might be true, but we don't make normative decisions based on time of the krah. And that's their machloket, and so too over here. What is the reason that you're not allowed to marry the seven nations, or you're not allowed to marry or intermarry with the seven nations? That should be clear from the pasuk, which is, they're going to cause your children to leave the path of Hashem. And why the seven nations? We know because they're yoter adukim b'avodah zarah, that they were more steeped in avodah zarah rather than the other nations. And therefore, I could explain the reason of this without the pasuk telling me it. Therefore, when the pasuk comes to tell me ki yasir, because they are going to cause your children to leave the derech Hashem, that is an unnecessary explanation according to Rabbi Shimon. Because I could have come to that conclusion without the pasuk telling me that. I know that. So that teaches me that ki yasir means any nation, not just the Shiva Amamim. El Rabbanon, but for the Rabbanon who need the pasuk to spell out the reason, rather than assuming the reason, and therefore this is not extraneous. It has to be written explicitly. My taima. So I'm a kra. V'achar kein tavo ela ubalta. V'yeshet yifat toar in the beginning of Parshat Ki Teitze, it says, after you've done all these procedures with her, then you're allowed to tavo ela ubalta. You're allowed to be together with her and have bia with her. Michlau. Demikara lo tafsi ba kiddushin. Showing you that until that point in time, you did not have the ability to generate kiddushin with her. And there the puzzle concludes, Vaita l'chali isha, that she will be for you a wife. So there you're able to generate kiddushin only after you've gone through these procedures. Michlal demikar lo tafse ba kiddushin. So from there you see that until that point, kiddushin wouldn't have worked. She's an eshet yifat toar. She's obviously not from the seven nations, because then you'd have a requirement of lo techaye kol neshama, that you have to obliterate them. And therefore it must be someone from one of the other nations. And you're given a procedure which allows you to marry her, implying that until that point, or before that point, you could not marry or generate kiddushin with her. So Mar says, Ashkan do tafsi ba kiddushin. So now we've found that kiddushin are not tofes by non-Jews outside of the seven nations. Vladak mota minolan. How do we know that the child born from that relationship follows the mother? Amakra, kitiana le'ish v'yaudulo. The subsequent parsha, which we already had spoken at before, kitiana le'ish tenashim achat uva v'achat nua, is juxtaposed to that of Eshet Yifat Toar. And in that next parshia, it says, Kitiana le'ish tenashim, achat uva v'achat snua, v'yaudu lo banim. And they bear him children. And so then the Gemara darshins for that. Ko eicha dekrinim ba kitiana. Anytime you have kitiana, mean that there's the ability to generate kiddushin, v'yaudu lo. Then the children that are born to him. Ko eicha delo krinim ba kitiana. Then in the cases where you don't have kiddushin, lo karbinim v'yaudu lo, then the children do not belong to him, meaning that they are not miyuchas after him. So that means that anytime there's no kiddushin, there's no yichus after the father. So now that works well to explain this, but that also has broader implications, which raises a serious issue, which is, by the cases of chiyuve karet and chiyuve mitat beitin, also over there the kiddushin are not tovsin, and yet over there we still say that the vlad that is born is a mamzer, but he's still considered to be the child of the father, and we say the v'yaldu lo banim. So therefore the Ramban suggests over here that we have a special limud by moledet bayit and moledet chutz by the arayot that show us that even when there is no kiddushin, and the child is a mamzer, despite that fact, they still have that relationship with the father, and so that offsets this pasuk over here. Others explain kitiyena does not mean kitiyena li'ishazeh, to this man in particular that there is kiddushin, but kitiyena means that this woman has the ability to generate kiddushin somewhere. So then, if this woman has the ability to generate kiddushin somewhere, then the child is connected to the father. But in a case where this woman has no ability to generate kiddushin with anyone, then the child does not belong to the father, and that's only true by a shifcha knanit and a nachrit. And that's how we learn it out, and then it doesn't affect the chiyuve mitot beitin and the chiyuve karet, because over there, they do have the ability to marry other people, it's just these particular individuals they can't marry. So you look at kitiyena as a broader, not particularly this man, but kitiyena means period. Can you generate kiddushin with this woman? Gemara says, Yehochi shifcha nami. Well, now if you have that limud should cover not only a nachrit, but also a shifcha, as we just explained. So Gemara says, Enochanami, you're right. Shifcha is learned out of this pasuk as well. So then what do I need the pasuk of Yishevi Yodea Tiel Aduna, which either taught us that it follows the mother, or even Kodesh HaRishoni tells us that Kedushin Ar Tofsin over there, L'chedetanya, we need for the Braita, the Omer L'shivchato, Hariat Bat Chorin, V'ladeich, V'vladeich, Evid, if an owner says to a Shivcha Kananit, I am freeing you, but your fetus will remain an Evid with me. Havlad Kimota. The fetus has the same din as her, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you can't sever that between the mother and the child because it's a fetus now. And that's an Ubar Yerechimo. It's an extension of the mother. And therefore, if the mother goes free, the child automatically goes free. What he says goes. I mean, she's property. We can separate between the child and the mother and define the woman as being free and the child as being an Eved. Because the Pasuk says that Yishav Eladeh Ati Yadu Aduna. My Talmuda. What's the limbo that teaches you what the Chachamim are saying? Amarava de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. No, that's the explanation of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, not the explanation of the Rabbanan's position, which is Aisha Viladeh Tiela Aduna. The mother and the child have the same din, meaning that the Vladot, the fetuses, and the mother have the same din. And that's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says. If you free the mother, the child in utero goes free as well, and you can't separate their dinin. And that he learns out from Isha Viladeh Tiela Aduna. And if that's the case, we learn out the fact that a shivcha knanit, by a shivcha knanit, that it follows her and not the father from kitiyana leish tenashim v'yaldolo banim. And kiddushin, we can either learn out from shulachem poim achamor, or, according to the chachamim, from a yishav ledea tiel adunau. And that will learn out the lack of kiddushin. And the fact that it follows the mother will learn out from the same place we learn it out for a nachrit. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Samach Tet Amud Aleph.